You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1583, brought to you today by Spalding Fly Predators. Funny enough, today, Dr. Marcella from the University of Florida joins Horses in the Morning co-hosts Glenn and Jamie to answer all the questions you never thought to ask about managing bug bites, biting bugs, and horses.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with Fly Predators. Fly Predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about Fly Predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, SPALDING-labs.com.
I'd like to welcome back to the show Dr. Rosanna Marcella. She is a veterinarian at the University of Florida and a professor and a veterinary dermatologist at the College of Vet Medicine there. Welcome to the show, Dr. Marcella.
My pleasure to be back.
Thank you for coming. It is that time of year where we were just talking here. Things seem like they calmed down and then Glenn got a hurricane and we got tremendous amount of rain and all the bugs are back out.
Yes. I mean, Florida just got pummeled with, you know, the storm, Debbie. So, yes, it's been brutal.
So how can we help our horses?
It's a challenge right now. I think the environmental conditions are very challenging. And I think there isn't one single answer. I can provide several suggestions and things that people can implement. And so that collectively you have some success. So one is the, if possible, the environmental control, right? So that you can, there are some areas where we notice that there are more mosquitoes, right? Because they're the bushes or whatever, there's some standing water or something like that. So I, as much as historically I've been opposed to chemicals, I now encourage people, and I do it myself, I spray some permethrin, you know, to kind of minimize the young stages of mosquitoes just coming out from all those areas. I also use a mosquito magnet, which is a cordless machine, has a propane tank. And so the mosquitoes, noceums, are attracted by the CO2. And on top of that, you can use specific attractants. And so basically you lure the insects into these traps and so that they kind of leave the horses alone. So you kind of put them in proximity to the horses, but not exactly where the horses are, because you want to lure the insects away from the horses. So those are things that you can do environmentally. And then the use of heavy-duty repellents. And and at this point, multiple times a day. So you could be spraying a horse in the morning and think that you should have protection for multiple days, but that is not the case. As they sweat, you know, and the load of bugs is so high, you have to reapply. So morning and evening. And the products, there are several products, but ultimately you're looking for something with permethrin, something like at least a 1% permethrin, possibly more, or synthetic derivative of permethrin, like the Endure and the Tritec. They have the cypermethrin, which is 0.15. So you can go to a lower percentage because it's a derivative. And basically apply generously.
It's always a question, I think, almost where you live as what fly sprays actually work. So I love that you've named a couple of them. Endure and Tritec are some ones that I just wrote down to put on my list for shopping. Fantastic.
You know, we've been finding good luck, and we're not endorsed by any of these, by the way, so this is not a commercial. But we've been having good luck here in Florida. The only thing that we found that really works with Florida mosquitoes, which I think are equivalent to Australian mosquitoes, mosquitoes. They just want to kill you, is mosquito halt. And I don't know what mosquito halt does in it, but it seems to work for the mosquitoes. Now, it doesn't work as effectively for the flies, which is interesting.
Right. Yeah. The flies, you basically, you have to, flies, you need to literally drown them in chemicals, you know, so they don't really repel. So that's the thing, you use as an insecticide, you know, so as the fly is on the horse, that you effectively kill it that way. But yes, mosquito halt is one of them. It's not as strong as the Tritec or the Endure, but also has a combination of permethrin and derivative of permethrin, so that works fine. And the repellent activity is more for the mosquitoes and the noceums. But the actual flies, whether you have yellow flies or black flies or whatever you have, nothing really deters them. You know, for the black fly, one thing that can help is, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, to have the black sticky balls, you know, that you hang from lower branches. So the black flies are attracted to shiny color. And you can buy these kits online. And basically it's a sticky, is a black ball, shiny, and then you can paint the sticky material and you hang it from a branch so that there is a little bit of movement. Hopefully, and so the flies go for it, and then literally they get stuck on it. And for black flies, if that's the main issue, that it seems to work more than any insecticide.
Well, I've never heard of those. I just Googled it. So we have. I always use the bags. But God, they smell so bad.
And they do.
This year, I mean, oh man, after like 3 days, you're like, I can't even be in here anymore. For the first year at my farm here in Oklahoma, we've started using the fly predators. Oh my God. It is a dramatic difference from last year to this year with the fly predators.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you probably don't have neighbors, right? So you're the only,
Yeah. Yeah,
because I think that is a good additional strategy, assuming that basically you don't have a bunch of other people around you also with animals and not using the fly predators, and so you don't make a dent, you know. So I tried them, but I have people around me as well, and so unless everybody is on the same program, you may not see a great difference. But yeah, wow. I think these are all possible strategies. Yes.
Before we get into actually, you know, what you do when your horse comes in, he's completely bug bitten all over. Before we get into that, you can use too much fly spray though, right? One of our horses was at the boarding stable and they were using a lot of fly spray, and he ended up, you know, with a problem on his back because of the fly spray. We really had to cut it back. Is there anything that you can use to help alleviate the what Jennifer calls fly spray burn, right?
Right. So like some horses become sensitized and it can occur with any product, and they get this kind of like a flaky skin where it kind of peels off.
Yep.
And yeah. And so I have seen it. Some horses don't deal well with chemicals, you know, whether it's the vehicle or the permethrin itself. Some horses don't deal well with the neem oil products. This one is called Equiderma, and it's great for some horses and not so great for others. So I think it's an individual response. And my suggestion is basically if you have one that develops an issue, to simply kind of like try a different product, to see if it's better tolerated. And for the existing lesions, you want to basically use some mild moisturizing shampoo or conditioner with oatmeal or topical permoxin, so something that will basically soothe the skin. But I don't keep using the product. If I realize that the horse is having an issue, then you just, you know, stop and try something different. This is also true with chlorhexidine. So when people use antimicrobial shampoos, there are some horses that become very sensitive to the chlorhexidine, and you need to, you know, you need to change strategy.
Well, that's good to know too, because you can tell your vet not to scrub before surgery using chlorhexidine.
Right. So it's like, you know, and people too, right? So there are some of us that become sensitized to the chlorhexidine scrub. And so chlorhexidine is a strong sensitizer, you know, so has good qualities. But in some cases, you know, once you become sensitized to it, then you need to just change altogether. Yeah.
Before we run out of time, I saw something in the article that you put, and I have never thought of this, but say you have a horse that is incredibly itchy. One of the things that you talked about was putting about 6 mils of dexamethasone, dex, in the bottle of fly spray, so that when you spray the horse, it actually helps the itching?
Yes. It's obviously quackery, right? Because it's like, so there is no scientific study that was run. It's just based on clinical experience. So so obviously nobody wants to give systemic steroids to a horse for very good reasons, right? So, I mean, have to, but if we can avoid it, it would be best. And the skin has the advantage that you can reach it topically, but when you treat it systemically, that's a disadvantage because you need to use a much higher concentration, whether it's an antibiotic or a steroid, in order to have the effect in the skin, right? So basically, skin is very amenable to topical. So your options for topical are, there is a commercial product that has triamcinolone in it. It's called Genesis Spray, but it's very expensive. It's a small bottle, and it's basically is labeled for a small animal. You can use it in horses, but it doesn't go very far because the bottle is small. So what I did years ago, I calculated the equivalent percentage that is in that product, and I used dexamethasone, because it's very accessible to most people and is inexpensive, and that's what I ask my clients to do, and I do it myself if one of my guys is very itchy. So if you're using the spray routinely, it will not last you very, very much, very long, because the issue is stability, right? So, like, you don't know how stable this mix is, you know, most likely no more than 2 weeks. But if you're using it routinely, it's okay. And it's a much more benign sin than treating horses with injectable dex.
Yeah, I love this because I have an Andalusian who, oh my God, just rubs his mane. I mean, he's been dewormed. He's like up out of the heat. He gets regular baths, but he rubs his mane out every summer and it makes me crazy. So is this something that maybe I could administer topically, even with just like put it in water and spray that in his mane and tail to keep him from rubbing?
Yes, you can. Also, if he's rubbing his mane, he's insect allergic, right? So basically, that is a manifestation of Nosium allergy. So there are different species of Nosium, and you know, many farms have multiple species. But the long story is that most culicoides allergic horses or Nosium allergic horses have an itchy neck and an itchy rump. So they will rub their neck and destroy their mane. They will rub their butt against the fence and kind of break the hair at the base of the tail and so on. So using repellent all over and adding the dex so that you can give him a break, that's the best thing you can do for him. And
oh,
if you
gosh.
see little scabs on the neck, it means that he has also a staph infection. So in the air, anytime you feel scabs, then you can get a chlorhexidine spray and basically spray all those scabby areas so that you kill staphylococcus. Because the staphylococcus also makes the skin very itchy. So the sequence is there is inflammation in the skin because you have allergies, and on top of that, staphylococcus takes over. And so it further increases the level of itch. So you use some chlorhexidine to kill staph, and then your fly spray with Dex to prevent more bites and give him a break in terms of itch.
Oh my gosh, you've just like answered all the questions. Now, one more, but if I see the scab, am I supposed to pick the scab or am I supposed to leave it alone?
Leave it alone.
Oh, yeah. I've been messing that up.
I know. It's hard. You know
horse girls, they have to pick scabs. It's a thing. It's what horse girls do.
Yeah, it's an urge, right? Yeah. But the thing is that you don't want to encourage scarring, right? So when the skin is ready to heal, the scab will fall off on its own. But if you start scraping and plucking and all that, then you encourage scarring. So you want, you treat it when the infection is under control, this thing will come off on its own. So don't do it. I don't know, it's hard, but don't do it.
Okay. I'm writing all this down. You should see my whole page is full.
Okay.
I have a question. This has happened to a friend of ours here recently in the last couple of weeks. And I've been reading stories about it. I mean, there's been some horrible stories about it. It seems for some reason bees are becoming more aggressive, but they were out riding in the woods. The ground wasps or whatever they are, they came across a nest, came up, stung them many times, but stung their horses like 20 times. At what point do you call a vet when you have a bee sting incident like that?
I would say, so the allergic reaction to bees is 10 to 15 minutes. And so in that amount of time, you realize whether... the response, it depends whether you have an allergy to it or not. Of course, the bee stings are painful and you do have a bump and you have some itch. But one thing is like a few bumps, they're not spreading. And the other one is the allergic individual where you start getting hives all over, even, way more than the amount of bites that you had. That is an issue, right? So that is the calls for medications. And so what are the things that people can give? So there are two drugs really that you would be using for this type of situation. One is the steroids and the other one is antihistamines. So if people are still waiting, let's say for the vet, and they say this horse is having a more generalized reaction, Benadryl, if you happen to have Benadryl at home, you can give even the oral Benadryl to horses because most people don't have the injectable. You can give the oral one. So a big horse, like let's say 1,300-pound horse, you can get something like 450 milligram of up to 500 milligram of Benadryl. So if it comes in 25, it makes what, 20 pills, right?
Yeah.
Check my math. Yeah. So that's basically, antihistamines and steroids. But if the horse, to answer your question, if the horse develops, over the 15 minutes, generalized hives and swelling, particularly, in the neck area, the throat latch area, that's definitely, you need injectable steroids.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Well, this has been awesome. I've taken lots of notes and I'm going to go spend a lot of money. So this is fantastic. It's two of my favorite things. Well, thank you so much for coming on and explaining all of this to us, Dr. Marcella. It is wonderful. Where can people learn about you and what you do in the University of Florida?
Well, I mean, so there are many ways. One is Google my name, and, you know, and there are many articles that come up. Another way is to go on the UF website, and I am on the, you know, the dermatology service. And so that you can kind of click on that and see what we're working on. So one thing that we're working is on a new treatment for itch in horses. So hopefully you'll hear more about that, trying to create an alternative to the use of steroids. But yeah, so those are ways to kind of learn more about it.
Love it. Well, when you discover that, you come here first and tell us about it. That'd be fantastic. Yes, Dr. Marcella, thank you so much. Have a wonderful week.
Yes, thank you. Same to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.